Amen. Please be seated. Prior to the current version of the prayer book we have now, 1979, this feast day today was known by a different name. And just for the record, as far as the church is concerned, today has never been known as Groundhog Day. But until Vatican II, for our Roman Catholic friends and for us Anglicans, until the 1979 prayer book, today was known as the Feast of the Purification of the Virgin Mary. By that name, the focus and emphasis of the commemoration was not so much about the presentation of the infant Jesus in the temple, but was focused more on the ancient Hebrew laws and rituals which surrounded women and childbirth. The law in Leviticus declared that a woman who gave birth to a male child would be considered ritually unclean for a period of 40 days. And for those of you who are curious, a woman who gave birth to a female child would be ritually unclean for 80 days. I don't make the rules, I only... In our reading from Luke, we heard what was required of the woman in order to be declared ritually clean. She should bring a year-old lamb for a burnt offering of thanksgiving, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. And if she couldn't afford to bring a lamb, she should bring two turtle doves or two pigeons. Now, the ritual that Mary and all Jewish women would have followed developed into an interesting custom within Christianity with a ritual called the churching of women. Do any of you know that? Have you ever witnessed it? Yeah. So the churching of women. The Christian spin on this Jewish ritual was not about purifying an unclean woman after childbirth, but was more about marking an event considered to be sacred in the life of a woman. As I think we most know, historically, a woman was confined to her bed for a time after giving birth, and she was cared for by her mother or other female relatives. And so this churching served to mark the end of this time of separation, this laying in, and it would reintegrate the mother into her community. I'm grateful that the authors of our current 79 Book of Common Prayer have renamed this day and gave it the fullness and the attention it deserves, moving its emphasis and significance away from the Blessed Virgin Mary and shining the spotlight on Jesus. Falling in the season of Epiphany like it does, it's only appropriate that this feast day is marked by the declaration of Simeon, which we heard in the gospel reading. Simeon, who praised God that he had lived long enough to see the Savior that had been long promised. And it was Simeon who recognized the divine in the baby Jesus, calling him a light to enlighten the nations. Over the millennia, interesting traditions have sprung up around the Feast of the Presentation of our Lord. This day was considered the end of the Christmas cycle. And so it was considered unlucky to remove Christmas decorations until the evening of February 1st. So those of you who still have your tree up, you're okay. But woe to the messy housekeeper. For another tradition around today states that for every errant holly leaf or every bit of Christmas greenery left in the house after today, tragedy of some sort would visit the family before the year ended. Kind of pleasant little notion, isn't it? But superstitions aside, in the same way that our Palm Sunday procession reminds us of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, this morning's procession into the nave from the narthex, educating you there, narthex, nave, it reminds us of Jesus' humble entry into the temple. And we process with lit candles to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world, the light that would enlighten all people. Traditionally, And we had it out there on the little table, if you noticed. Traditionally, churches bless the year's supply of candles on this day, and we had candles out there for our worship. And then lay people would bring in their household's year's supply of candles to be blessed. And so in thanksgiving for the candles, which give light, we thank God for the bees that produce the wax for the candles. Now, granted, our candles this morning are either a petroleum or a palm oil byproduct, but I believe that God honors our intentions. And the blessing of candles and the candlelit procession have given our worship on this day its own special name, and we call it the Candlemass. Now, in our gospel lesson, there is this one person I always tend to forget, because she's overshadowed by the sheer presence of the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph and Jesus. She's overshadowed by the eloquence of Simeon's words. And it's the prophet Anna. She has waited 84 years, waited and worshiped and dreamed of the day when, like Simeon, God would reveal the divine majesty to her. And I doubt she expected it to come in such a small, helpless little package. But Anna knew at once who Jesus was and what he stood for. She saw in Jesus the divine light that would spread around the world, bringing the promise of freedom to the enslaved, bringing comfort to the sick and the suffering, and to the dying and the grieving and those who mourn. He brings the light of the world with the pledge and promise of life eternal in glory. Simeon and Anna, they show us as Christians how we should live, living lives open to the possibility that God will show us something new, something unexpected. Maybe it's the divine in the lowliest of places and the lowliest of people. And this feast of the presentation of our Lord reminds us that the light of Christ shines brightly in each of us, so that our lives may be a witness to others of the hope and the promise that Christ brings. Amen.